the Specials podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to William Hill's Specials podcast, where we look at all things talent and reality TV. On the agenda this week, Strictly Come Dancing, X Factor, I'm a Celebrity, and Sports Personality of the Year in the company of reality Rob Dixon. Hello, Rob.
Good afternoon.
Andy Holding is on the line. Hi, Andy.
Hi, guys.
And Daniel Gould from SofaBet.com will be joining us very soon as well to discuss X Factor. But let's start with Strictly Come Dancing 2015. We now have six left. Jay McGuinness is the 8-15 favourite, as he has been for a while, favourite at least, if not 8-15. Georgia May Foote 11-4, Anita Rani 9-1, Helen George 16-1, 25-1 Katie Derham, and 33-1 Kelly Bright. It's a two-horse race, really, this, Andy, isn't it? And with a clear favourite.
Yeah, it's developed like that for a long while. I mean, we've been talking about it for about the last 3 or 4 weeks, or probably even beyond that. It's just whether Jay can continue his good work, and there seems no signs of him stopping. Each week, he's right on the money. He's still getting amazing amount of likes, if you like, on the percentages on the polls I've been looking at. I mean, he's literally hit over 50% every single week, even when he's dropped down the leaderboard. So he's massively, massively popular. And there's only really Georgia, and to a smaller degree Anita, that's threatened that popularity on the polls. It's Helen George, because considering that she's been scoring highly, I think she's the one who's got the most averages, hasn't she? Or the best averages, yeah. Point score total, right, along the way. And she was really good last week. Typical when I put her up the week before, I'd be top scorer. Mm. She did the Charleston, of course. She was top scorer last week with her in-hole dance. She's been really, really low down on the popularity votes. I mean, she only got 5% on the polls that I look at. So I'm still not sure whether Helen's going to be much of a factor come the Final Four, even if she does get that far. But, yeah, I think... a lot of the bookmakers now have got Jay in the hot, haven't they? And they're just hoping, praying for a bit of a miracle.
Last week, as Andy mentioned, Helen and Aliash were top scorers, 39 for their main dance, and they won the quick step-a-thon as well. Other scores, you had Jay and Aliona, 38. Then next in the running was 34 for Kelly and Kevin, a 33 for Georgia and Giovanni, which is a bit down on their recent high scores. And the 32 for Katie and Anton, 31 for Peter and Anita. And, of course, it was Peter who went. Rob, any special things to tell us about where the money's been going this week?
There's been no money, I'll
Nothing.
Be honest with
wow.
you. For the outright, it's, after all these weeks, it's kind of now got into everybody sort of put into different things. We know Jay and Georgia are going to make the final. We know that this week's likely to be a shootout between Kelly and Katie. Mm-hmm. And then it's just that final spot in the final, really, between Anita and Helen, really, for me. It's what I think is probably a quiet period. Whether the prices are overly correct, I'm not sure. I kind of think...
Always a good thing for a punter when the trader says that.
No, but I don't think there should be as much of a gap in the prices or the market, really, between Jay and Georgia. I don't see there being that much difference. When it gets to the final and they do their performances and they get their 40s, then I don't think on the night there should be that much of a gap. And I don't think when it gets to the final there will be. I still think Georgia's got a few sort of decent dances still left in her, so...
The elimination market, 10th elimination, sees co-favourites Katie Derham and Kelly Bright at 13-8. Helen George is 3-1. Anita Rani is 9s, 20s for Georgia and 40s for Jay McGuinness. Those two favourites in the market, Kelly and Kevin, are doing the Viennese Waltz, and Katie and Anton are doing the Foxtrot. Helen, who's next in the market, is doing the Pase Doble. Then you've got Anita doing the Argentine Tango, the Foxtrot for Georgia and Giovanna, and Jay and Aliona are doing the Rumba. If we look at those two favourites first, Andy, out of Kelly and Kevin doing the Viennese Waltz and Katie and Anton doing the Foxtrot, which one would you think has got the better chance of impressing?
Well, you'd like to think that it'd be Katie and Anton, wouldn't you, really, who will impress more doing a ballroom. That's where Katie has been very strong. And, of course, Anton is traditionally known as the king of the ballroom dancers. Of course, they did a really good job, didn't they, in Blackpool when they were in hold. And, you know, they've been popular enough to keep ticking along every week. Anton, obviously, you know, a lot of people like him and the public have got behind that amalgamation with him and Katie. And it's been a fair run through, but I think the wheels are going to come off sooner rather than later. I think she'll either go this week or maybe next week if she's to do a Latin dance, which has been a downfall. So she might just scrape through by the skin of her teeth this week over Kelly and Kevin. Of course, were in the dance-off, not only last week, but the second time. They obviously got through because they were the better dancers. But she, to be fair, is doing quite a good dance for her as well this week. She's doing the Viennese waltz, and she's looked really good in training. I think she's got into this dance. So it'd be an interesting little match-off if these two were to both be in the dance-off. With Rob, it's, you know, it is a quiet week, really, and because of the sort of toss of the coin situation with Katie and Kelly, which one will get the lowest score and which one will do the best dance-off dance. I've got no real opinion either way. It's 6-4, 7-4 each or two. If there is going to be one maybe that drops into that dance-off scenario, it might well be Anita, not necessarily because she's doing a bad dance for her, she's doing the tango, but I think it's more to do with the fact that she's been training on her own this week because Gleb has fell down with this mystery illness. So whether they've had enough practice to obviously pull off a good tango is obviously open to question. Mm. Helen's going to get through the Paso Doble. That's obviously a very strong, powerful dance. That Paso Doble always gets through every week. George and Giovanni doing the foxtrot, they'll be very good in hold. And I think Joe and Alione will do a really, really good rumba as well. If any couple is going to pull off the sensual dance in the rumba, it's going to be those two, obviously, with their chemistry. So I agree with the market. It's a difficult week, really, to predict, A, the high score, and B, who's going to go, who's going to be going in the next elimination.
Mm, I must say that Anita Rani bet 9-1 does look a big price for, as you say, if she slips into that bottom two it wouldn't be a massive surprise if she gets outdanced. There'll be a lot of sympathy for Kleb because he's obviously well liked by the majority of the people who watch this show, i.e. women who vote. Might be a bit of sympathy for the fact that he's been poorly all week. But if she's in the dance-off, Rob, 9-1 against anyone in that market, I'd be having a look at that. Anita Rani, no?
Yeah, a lot. It's got legs on it, but she survives a dance-off against Katie and Kelly, though, doesn't she? And I can only... One of those two has to be in. I can't see it being...
No, yeah.
If Anita's in, she's probably in against... I think... If I had to have a punt, I think I'd go with Kelly to go this week, yeah, but... Uh-huh. It's as Andy week. Said, it's a toss of a coin, isn't it, to go?
Yeah, tricky week. It is not every week you can't pick out an absolute stellar bet every single week. That'll do us. Andy will. Obviously the better dancers are left in now, so it always becomes trickier. But we may see some more interesting markets this time next week.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, because I mean we are getting down to the nitty gritty, and Rob can probably afford to have a license to maybe price up a few markets. Like, will a 40 be scored, and maybe a few other exotic bets, but yeah, this week it just there isn't anything that's really exciting me. So I think we just watch the pro and get a bit more knowledge, and play around until the semi-final week.
No harm in that. Plenty more to bet. I'm with X Factor and I'm a celebrity, so
I'm sure there is. Boys, yeah.
Enjoy your weekend, and we will speak to you this time next week.
Yeah. Good luck, guys. Thanks.
Cheers,
a lot.
Andy. Thanks,
bye
mate.
Now, bye.
Andy Holden there on Strictly Come Dancing. It's time to talk about the X Factor, and it's a delight to welcome Daniel Gould to the show again from SofaBet.com. Hi, Daniel. You well?
Hi there, Lee. I'm very well, thanks. Thanks for having me again.
No problem at all. We were just talking to Andy Holding about a mystery illness that's beset one of the pro dancers in Strictly. We've got Lady C, who I'm sure we'll talk about later, who's left I'm a Celeb with a mystery bug. And maybe Fourth Impact came a cropper because of an illness again.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of it until it happened the second time after their elimination. That, you know, first time it happened, it clearly sent producers into a panic in week three. And that's the last thing they want on a live show, is sort of someone fainting on them, especially if it's the final.
Last week, we were just talking in the studio before we started recording, Daniel, and Rob, you've got a little bit of a theory about that illness and the fact that you think Lauren probably was as everyone thought, the plan to go, and that might have just changed things.
Yeah, I mean, I saw nothing from definitely the Saturday production that Lauren was going to stay. And I think the fourth Impact girl, Selena, is it Selena?
I've always forgotten. I can't remember.
Selena. Maybe she was feeling unwell on the Saturday, and that it seemed to be quite a late change of plan. Simon was very quick. Normally, he deliberates for quite a long time to decide who goes, but he was quite obviously that he was going to save Lauren and take it to deadlock. So it seems strange. I think the plan would have been that Lauren went last week, and maybe this week would have been a straight fight between Reggie and Bolly and Fourth Impact to see which one got in the final. I think Shay, despite the fact that he's forgotten his lines again, the first time, is all right for the final. And Louisa obviously being the chosen one, despite her illness as well, another one to add to the reality.
Yes,
I think is nailed on for the final as well. But I could see it just being a shootout. Maybe the producers didn't want the fact that if it is going to happen time and time again, that they can take that risk for the final, and they decided to dispose of Fourth Impact last week.
Maybe so. Or maybe they just got less votes than anyone else.
Oh, yeah. Obviously,
I'm sorry to not throw a conspiracy theory in there.
The less cynical view is that they just got less votes.
I must admit, you did say last week, Daniel, while we were discussing it, you know, they've probably gone as far as they need to go to get a career. You know, do they need to go any further? And when I sat there watching it, I thought, how many, you know, voters here are going to sit and vote for a Philippine girl group over a British singer, when there were, you know, there wasn't much to choose between them in the sing-off anyway. So we're left anyway with Louisa Johnson as a 1-3 favourite, Reggie and Bowley the 11-2 second favourites now. Che Chesterman, as Rob mentioned, fluffing his lines a little bit, albeit getting away with it, 8-1, and 8-1 Lauren Murray as well. I noticed that he'd fluffed his lines, but I've spoken to other people who didn't even spot it, to be fair.
He did quite well, didn't he? Really well. There was a sense that if you weren't really watching very, very carefully, you might not have even really noticed.
Until they went on about it.
I mean, he did the right thing. He just kind of waited until he knew where he was going to come in and start the thread again, and he did. So in terms of the worries about producers thinking, can we sort of take the risk of taking this guy into the final, I don't think the flub will make that much difference just because he handled it so well.
Let's not forget, Otis Redding, sitting on the dock of the bay, that whistling bit in there, they reckon he forgot the lines. So, if, you know, if it's good enough for him...
he didn't whistle, did he? He just stood there.
He kind of went...
It was.
I thought that was part of the song. I thought it was just his version. What's wrong with... They should have just come on and gone, so good to see you doing your own version of the song,
exactly.
Jay. It's only 3 weeks old. You're already turning it to yourself.
It's only quite a famous version already, isn't it?
It's slightly unfortunate to get the words to, like, the most famous, iconic song of the year.
It's weird as well, because you think back to this time last year when... obviously, we hadn't had the joy of whatever that big song was that Fleur East sang. I can't remember.
Uptown Funk.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, my age really shows on this. Forgetful. Don't know the young songs. It's terrible. Don't Get Reggie and Bolly. But they released that. Obviously, that was sung by Fleur East, and it was almost like it was her own song because not many people had heard it here. It was obviously on YouTube, and it was available to watch there. But you know, it was almost like the opposite for him, wasn't it? Hello. It was an impossible song for him to do well because pretty much everyone loves that song. It's broken records for album sales in the States anyway, hasn't it? Yeah. So I thought it was a bit of a poison chalice to give him anyway, Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were trying to be helpful to him last week. I mean, all the indications are that they want him in the final. I'm expecting, although not 100% certain, you know, that good treatment to continue this Saturday.
It was voted for, wasn't it? It was voted.
Yes,
that was the one that was voted for by the public.
Yeah,
and
which is
obviously
fair enough,
the reason I think that they would have wanted Shay to sing it is that they thought that, providing he can sing it well and remember the words, it is to me a fast track through to the final.
Yeah, but sorry to now be the cynical one, but I always wonder about those public votes for songs. Anyway, let's leave that behind. In terms of him, you know, you say about him going through to the final, the interesting thing for him this week is that surely they will now go, Daniel, on the idea that, you know, you lost your confidence a bit last week, but here you are coming back to form because he'll absolutely belt out what he's got this week. The songs that they've got, two songs, of course, Would I Lie to You for Che Chesterman and Love is a Losing Game. The Would I Lie to You is interesting, isn't it? That's the Charles and Eddie song from, what was it, mid-90s, early 90s, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's a fairly quick song for his usual style.
Yeah, I imagine that because he's doing Love is a Losing Game, yeah, which will be very ballady and very slow, it's a chance to give him a bigger production. There'll be female dancers there, kind of trying to emphasise his sex appeal, just as they did in the second song last week. So that's what I imagine they're doing. They're just trying to switch it up a little bit between the two songs.
I'm really interested in Louisa Johnson's songs that she's been given. It's a man's world, which is the song by James Brown, of course, and The Power of Love, Frankie Goes to Hollywood. They don't strike me as being two songs that get Louisa to the final at first glance, unless she changes them up, you know, massively. But The Power of Love is the Frankie Goes to Hollywood version. They just seem quite old-fashioned to me.
Yeah, well, that was my initial reaction. And I realised that The Power of Love, they're going to use the Gabrielle Aplin version.
Yeah.
She's been John Lewis.
That was an advert.
It'll be the John Lewis version of Power of Love. And yeah, I agree with you on this is a man's world. But I think, you know, you've got to remember this is the song that, the only song that beat Matt Cardle in a phone vote when Mary Byrne sang it.
Week one, 2010.
It's basically just a showcase for her big vocals. So she's going to bellow that one out. You know, there are not many songs you can bellow out more than This Is a Man's World.
Yeah.
And I think that's the idea behind that choice.
Yeah, Laura Murray's got Running, which is all over the radio, of course, at the minute. The Beyonce and Naughty Boy record. And Best of My Love, The Emotions from the late 70s, which is, again, a great song to showcase her vocals, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I worry that this is putting her in the same sort of genre as last week when they gave her two songs which were pretty current, but then they sort of played up the fact that she hadn't heard them before, and you know, I do think you want familiar. I think best is, the second one is better for her. I think you want familiarity with a wide demographic at this stage of proceedings.
Finally, Reggie and Bolly, everyone's favourite act, of course. I'm just saying that because that's what I think I should say. I've got Locked Away, which I don't. I must admit, without listening to, I'm struggling. But I'm told by Wikipedia that it's a dancehall and reggae fusion song, so that would seem apt. I Got a Feeling by Black Eyed Peas mashup with I Like to Move It. I think I can just get away with saying mashup still, by the way, Rob. So don't look
just
at me like
about,
that.
Yeah.
They could literally sing the ABC song and they'd be all right, wouldn't they?
Yeah, with a big production and lots of dancers. Yeah. That was amusing last week because they had these characters, a policeman, a lollipop lady, and all
it was like a new wave YMCA, wasn't it?
It really was.
I'm just wondering how we do the lollipop. That's a bit of a weird one. But I mean, it bodes for an entertaining show, Rob, doesn't it? Because, you know, maybe there's some of the songs you might think that's a bit weird, but, you know, there's some, you know, Reggie and Bolly are what they are. The rest are all really good singers. The other three, you know, whatever you think of Laura Murray, she'll belt those out as best she can.
I think Reggie and Bolly have got their... I think you want a variety in the show. If you got to a final with Louisa, Shay, Reggie and Bolly, it wouldn't be the worst final, but it's three completely different type of act, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is.
If that's what they want, they've at least got a plan A, B, and C ready for the final, haven't they?
It's not the
problem that I've got is I still think that Louisa, Lauren, two almost similar types.
Yeah.
They won't want Lauren in the final taking votes off Louisa. So I think, based on that, Lauren will be the one to go this week.
We've been talking about Louisa, like she's won this show. Of course, you know, odds-on favourites do get beaten in these kind of shows. There's betting without Louisa. Do you think she wins the show, Daniel, from this point?
I think the vote is pretty close at the moment. That's the one thing I will say. It felt last week like there wasn't that much between them. That was my reading of it. So in those terms, I don't think that price doesn't look like value, but what that price does represent is the fact that everyone's kind of pricing in the favour that producers will show her, both in the semi-final and the final. I mean, I think they will go all out, having got her to the stage, having got her kind of nearest equivalent, Lauren, into the bottom two last weekend. I think they're now going to just kind of sort of go for it, Little Mix style. And I think punters are kind of, the price reflects that concept that the producers are really going to just push for her to win.
Yes, I remember well those almost desperate pleas for votes for Little Mix. Remember those? It was like it was almost like a kind of charity appeal, wasn't it? In fact, celebrities are rarely as impassioned as for charity appeals as they were for Little Mix votes. Remember that?
We are just 48 hours away from Ollie Murs banging on the Louisa Johnson battle bus, aren't we?
So, yeah. We really are.
He'll bang on the wrong bus now in Ollie, won't he? The battle bus, fantastic. Those odds for without Louisa Johnson, Reggie and Bowley, 6-5 favourites. Che Chesterman, 7-4, which might still represent a bit of value to some people. Lauren Murray, 5-2. 10th elimination then. Lauren Murray is the odds on favourite at 10-11. Che Chesterman's 13-8. Reggie and Bowley, 9-2. Louisa Johnson, 16-1. I guess, Daniel, they want them in the bottom two with anyone, and then they can justifiably get rid of her, I suppose. It'll be interesting if she's in the bottom two with Reggie and Bowley, because, you know, all series long they've kind of said that I haven't seen too much of that. I'm looking at who's got the potential. It's been a lot about if we're looking at the sing-off and we're judging it on this performance. Well, you know, if Reggie and Bolly get in the bottom two, they're going to struggle to out-sing anyone.
Yeah, well, what their nightmare scenario is Lauren third and Reggie and Bolly fourth. Because if they do want Reggie and Bolly in the final over Lauren, they're going to have to get Nick Grimshaw to vote for Reggie and Bolly over his sort of long-stated favourite, Lauren.
Yes.
So that they will try and avoid that at all costs. And I think they don't mind a Lauren Shay sing-off. Even if Shay's bottom, they could sort of theoretically, incredibly save him 3-1 over Lauren, just as Andrea would say 3-1 over Lauren Platts last year. So I think they'll do anything just to avoid a Lauren third, Reggie and Bolly fourth scenario. But I do think they will try and get Lauren out this weekend.
Yeah, as an odds-on shot, Rob, 10 to 11 is palatable to a lot of punters who don't really like odds-on shots. It's probably a surer thing as you can get in reality TV.
Yeah, they're pretty much the only one. Lauren's the only one really being backed all week. I think we opened at 11-10 and saw plenty of money on the Monday morning at the 11-10, went 10-11. But from Monday morning, I think the market's been pretty static, to be quite honest. The punters.
Her only hope is a rough copy style fourth act that finished well behind the other three acts in the phone boat, at which point, when the stats are released, it looks really controversial to save someone. If you remember a few years ago, rough copy, everyone thought they'd get through to the final and was surprised when they lost the sing-off or lost the deadlock and the sing-off to Luke Friend. And it transpired in the phone votes afterwards that they'd got like 15% compared to Luke's 26%. And Luke had been just behind the top two. So in those circumstances, that's when, you know, it might become a bit uncomfortable for the show to ditch someone who might have finished sort of well ahead of the other act in that sing-off. That's my one reservation about Lauren going this weekend.
Be interesting anyway. I think we're due a good week, a good performance week.
We're due a shock, aren't we? But we could. If we could just get rid of Louisa this week, it'd make next week a bit easier for me.
Plenty to watch and plenty to keep an eye on for next week, Daniel. Anyone who still isn't reading the SofaBet previews and reviews, what are you doing with your lives? They're available on Twitter at SofaBet, or you can just go straight to sofabet.com. But give Daniel and the crew a follow on Twitter, of course. Daniel, thanks for your time as ever.
Many thanks, Lee.
Enjoy the X Factor this weekend and good luck with your bets. Let's move on to I'm a Celebrity, shall we? Rob, been a great series. I mean, people saying, you know, it's not been that interesting. They're crazy. It's the best reality TV show on TV, including the talent shows as well, in my humble opinion. We've not been as in form as we have been in previous years, it's fair to say. I've been looking for value for the last three nights, and the favourites just keep dropping in there. In fact, I've only had one winner. I've put four tips for elimination and only one 2-1 winner, so technically I'm behind the eight ball now. I need a winner tonight.
Yeah, we've had five eliminations so far. Four have been won by the favourite, one was won by the second favourite, so it's a struggle, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got seven markets here.
I must admit, I'm kind of hoping that tonight it becomes five from six as well, because Tony Hadley, subject to our £25,000 bet, pre-tournament.
Of course.
Needs to go.
Yes.
And needs to go quickly.
Yeah, you will be celebrating that, won't you?
And needs to go tonight, yeah.
The outrights, first of all. Vicky Patterson is 8-11. Fern McCann, 13-8. The two newcomers, remember, the two girls who came in after the show. And we said earlier in the podcasts that only one newcomer, if you like, a late arrival into camp, has won before.
Biggins.
George Shelley is 8-1. Kieran Dyer, 20-1. Georgie Porter, 25-1. Tony Hadley, 33-1. As far as the outrights go, with a few days to go, Rob, I must say, I mean, if anyone coming into this now couldn't be backing Vicky Patterson, we've had our fingers burnt before, haven't we, by backing, having a nice bet on a decent price, being chinned in the final. My one worry with her is, good as she is, and she comes across really well, and she admitted, I think, last night on the show, as we record this on Friday, that, you know, she wanted to change people's perception of her. Yeah. She doesn't want to be just that girl from Geordie Shore, and I think she's done that in abundance. Has she been doing it for too long? Will people kind of finally get a little bit, not bored of it, but a bit like, yeah, okay, we got that, and we've changed our perception. Now we're not that shocked anymore. That's my worry about her at odds on. Fern McCann, I think her support will run out. I think George Shelley is the price here. I mean, you look, Twitter isn't everything in these shows, but because Twitter is such an instant barometer of what people are thinking at home, he has got so much support on Twitter. And he's done very, by the conventional tactics that we would use, how much airplay or how much is he on screen, he's the least, him and Georgie are the least of all.
Yeah.
Yet they've never touched, never seemed to touch the bottom two.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I've been looking at backing definitely Georgie for the elimination. She's been my sort of value selection right. each night for the last sort of two or three nights. And yeah, I think the fact that the airtime is so important in this show just makes, I mean, Vicky, when she came into the show, she got all the airtime possible. And that got her into this price. Now she's not getting as much. She's not doing the task. She didn't do the task last night, and she was the only one that didn't. Fern, on the other hand, came in at sort of 33-1, not getting much airtime, but has gradually got this airtime up. George is one that he just hasn't got the airtime. I don't know why they've not shown him. I don't know. He must be doing something, because every time they interview somebody that's been evicted, who do you want to win?
Lovely
guy,
though,
they all say George.
Lovely guy, though, isn't he, I suppose?
Yeah. I just wonder if that's going to be enough to, if they're going to get enough. Now we're down to six. We've obviously, we're about the level of a quarterfinal tonight. He will surely get airtime now, because there's only going to be four or five of them left over at weekend ready for Sunday's final.
Well, but I mean, I think, you know, what usually happens is we forget, don't we, how much airtime they get at this end of the show, you know, and even if someone's not really been that much to the forefront, if they start to impress, you can really collect
some
votes.
Yeah, this is more, if he's going to win, it's going to be pretty much like the case of Charlie Brooks a couple of years ago, who won it without as much airtime, who was always there, who was always doing well around the camp. People, when they got evicted, say, oh yeah, we like Charlie and she's really nice and everything, and she ended up winning just in probably what was the closest ever reality TV sort of vote at the end, where she'd won, I think she only won by about half a percent, 1.5% from the girl I've forgotten the name of. But yeah, I mean, she won just on the line there.
Yep.
And a lot of that was down to the edit and how they were perceived and shown, basically, over that final weekend.
Yeah. I suppose, let's look at the elimination market. Because I'll go George Shelley here and now at 8-1. I think it's a fantastic price.
Yeah, I can't argue. That's the alternative to the one. I mean, if it got down to, I mean, you think George is going to get to the final. Should he not get to the final, then it probably will end up being a straight fight between the two young girls. And you'd probably want to bat Fern at the you'd probably want to back the outside of the two. I don't think there's a lot to choose between the two.
Can I, let me put something to you. I don't want to worry you too much here, but we've got the elimination market. We've got Tony Hadley at 2-5. You want him gone.
I do want him gone.
If you'd had £25,000 on someone, how much money would you put aside to get people to vote for that person? You'd put a good £5,000 aside, wouldn't you?
That depends if that person is busy on a Friday night. He might have other things to do.
He might have a team of people at his disposal to ring.
He might have a team of people.
He might have people bombarding the app with five votes every time for Tony Hadley. Because the reason I asked that, Rob,
do you not think this person, maybe this person having £25,000 is the equivalent to me and you having a pound.
Maybe so.
Would you be bothered?
But what
if you've had a pound on something, you be bothered?
We're never bothered about the money, really, are we?
No, we're not bothered about the money.
We're bothered about winning. And what if this person's a born winner and doesn't want to lose? That's what I'm asking you. The reason I'm asking you that is because when you look at the... And I use Twitter quite a lot for this show. You look at Duncan, a massive Twitter following. I think it was around 600,000-700,000.
Yeah.
Tony Hadley has got a minuscule Twitter. I think it's about 70,000.
Yeah.
So those votes can't, you know, those, and his Twitter account is tweeting every day. It's not getting many retweets. It's not like Duncan Bannatyne had adverts up in his gyms across the country yesterday.
He did, I saw.
And he still went.
I didn't say it in the gym, I'd like to say.
Kieran, I mean, where is Kieran's vote coming from? You look at Twitter, he does not get a mention. He's been moody. He's not been particularly interesting. Who's voting for Kieran out there?
It must be some footballers that like him. He was very popular at Ipswich, wasn't he? West Ham.
But you know what I mean, though? I don't get... I understand where George is getting votes from. I understand where George is getting votes from because she's a popular young, you know, model and actress. I understand where Fern is because she's got a real active Twitter following and obviously she's well-known with the younger TV crowd. Obviously, Vicky's getting votes. I don't understand where Kieran Dyer is getting votes from. I mean, I've put him up twice this week at big prices. Honestly, I mean, he's on Twitter, but I mean, he's got 1,527.
That's not him, though, is it?
That's tweets his... during I'm a Celebrity will be posted by Kieran's management team. Now, I don't know if that's his Twitter feed, but basically, he's not on there, is he? He's not on Twitter in any way. Whichever one you think is him, he's not that one because he wouldn't swear in his bio. and this one, no way related to the injury-prone Kieran Dyer.
Yeah.
So I don't get it. Where's Kieran? Kieran's got to go sooner or later. And I hate putting the same bet up over and over again. But at 5-1, I've got to have another go on him. I've got to. If I lose again tonight, I'm going to cry, though. If he doesn't get called out tonight, I'm going to... Every time I put him up and they go, you know your person has to come quite late on in the...
Yeah.
It's not you. It might be you. Every time they say him, like, early on, I'm like, oh, you are kidding
me. They changed
me.
It last night.
I know. Yeah, it's a bit mad.
That means you're safe. Yeah. No. I was quite happy for Vicky to go.
If Tony Hadley goes tonight, have a little smile for Reality Rob here, because he'll be punching the air. But I'm going to go Kieran Dyer yet again. Where are these votes coming from for Kieran Dyer? Bowyer's not voting for him.
I'd like to say... Lee Bowyer is not in the country.
Okay.
If Tony Hadley wins, though, I'd like you to just say a little prayer. Maybe leave a little candle outside your door or something.
For Rob.
You never know.
It's going to be a hard Christmas.
Yeah. People will be worse off than you at Christmas, and that will be me.
enjoy I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here of the weekend. Let's have a look at Sports Personality of the Year, because there's been a lot of action this week, of course. Andy Murray is now the 8-11 favourite, having been 5-1 this time last week, pre-Davis Cup final. Jess Ennis-Hill is 7-4. Kevin Sinfield, another big mover this week after the shortlist was announced, 10-1 with the Rugby League family getting behind him. Tyson Fury has been shorter than this, but he's now 10-1. He was 66s this time last week before winning the... becoming the heavyweight... The heavyweight champion of the world. Four belts he's got around his waist now. Lewis Hamilton now 16-1, the Formula One champion and reigning champion. 50-1 for the Tour de France winner, Chris Froome. Mo Farah, who's achieved unbelievable things in athletics this year, is 66-1. Adam Peaty, 100-1. Greg Rutherford, 100s. Lizzie Armistead, 100s. So is Lucy Bronze, and so is Max Whitlock. I mean, great that they're all in there, but they haven't got a chance.
Yep, right. So we've got 12. Let's ignore the bottom five.
Okay. Right. What about six? No Mo?
No.
Okay.
No, too much baggage this year for Mo.
And he hasn't won it after Super Saturday anyway, so.
He's not won it after Super Saturday. 66-1. Not won it before when he's done better things.
Okay.
Passing by.
Yeah, okay.
Chris Froome polled terribly last year in...
No one knows who he is.
No reason to do it again.
Ruling out.
Five.
Right.
So we're down to five. Lewis Hamilton, fifth. Well, he's won it in a much more superior car than he did last year. He won it, basically. The only person he had to beat was his own teammate. Once he did that, then the championship was in the bag. Nobody has ever won Sports Personality 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he will still have the same legion of fans that he had last year, which will help him. But I think once you've won it, I think you can just get passed over. yeah. passed over quite easily.
I agree. No way he wins it twice.
No, he doesn't win it twice.
I'd be surprised anyway.
There we go.
Okay.
Who's fourth on the list?
Tyson Fury.
Tyson Fury, I think, is far too much still of a Marmite character. Great achievement beating Klitschko.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And I'll be honest with you.
Arguably the greatest sporting achievement on that list.
Arguably the greatest sporting achievement of the year. Yeah, I agree.
But the other thing about him, Robin, you know, without beating around the bush, he's made some pretty unsavoury homophobic comments that have been attributed to him.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, I'm sure he'll appear on some chat shows in the next few weeks.
Well, there's enough.
But if... I don't think he'll be able to turn the public's view of him round that quickly to win this.
No, and there's enough of a negative paper push mm-hmm. on the final day, a bit like the Darren Clark thing a few years ago.
Yeah.
There's enough sort of smoke.
Yeah, a lot of the journalists.
Get rid of Fury this
yeah,
week.
A lot of the journalists on Twitter were pretty harsh in their comments about his win, and then of course they had the justified tweets about some of those comments he made. Kevin Sinfield.
Right.
Now I've got a little theory on this.
As a rugby league fan,
yes.
as a Leeds Rhinos fan, let's tout.
Well, you can. I'm not a Leeds Rhinos fan.
And a backer of Kevin Sinfield.
Let me just say this to you though. I had a text from Barry McDermott this week. That's a massive name drop.
Yep.
Asking, you know, saying we really want to get behind Kevin. You know, I'm doing a piece on the yep. BBC Sky. You know, retweet it. Get it.
Yep.
Absolutely, Barry, no problem at all. But I did text Barry and say, have a think about this. You're going to need a lot of votes, Barry.
Yep.
Going to need an awful lot of votes. Last year, when Lewis Hamilton won it, he won it with over 200,000 votes
yep.
for him to win on yep. a relatively quietish year. So the average viewing audience for a rugby league game on Sky this season just gone.
Yep.
114,000.
Average viewing figures.
114,000.
Okay.
Bodies through the gates on an average weekend. I looked around. You're looking around maximum 60,000.
I reckon six games you would have.
Maximum 60,000.
No.
Absolutely
maximum 70, I'd say. 70,
okay. 75. Well, I'll give you
depends
that.
Depends if Salford are at home.
I'll give you that. I'll even give you 75. And I'll even bump it up to 120
yep.
weekly average viewing figures for Sky.
Okay.
Right? We're still not at 200 there by my maths.
No.
So they need every single rugby league fan who goes to a game or watches a game at the weekend
yep.
to vote.
Right.
Just for him to win.
I'll give you the for and against on this.
Go.
For is the fact that it's a lifetime achievement award for somebody. Nobody has won any as much in the game as Kevin Sinfield.
Give him the lifetime achievement award then.
I agree.
But AP's getting that.
But AP, Ryan Giggs, both should have got the lifetime achievement award
yep.
on the same year that they won. Rugby League has never had one person in the shortlist for BBC Sports Personality of the Year.
But there's another problem with your argument.
No, there's a but in the fact that rugby league is a very community based sport.
Yeah,
it's a very northern based sport.
I like the way your argument's going here. You're thinking it won't just be rugby league fans.
No, I think it can only be rugby league fans.
Okay,
and the problem that you've got is because the community rivalries in rugby league are so intense, you're not going to have a Castleford Tigers fan voting for a Leeds Rhinos fan.
Exactly.
You're not going to have a St Helens fan alternatively voting for a Wigan fan and vice versa. They might get together. You might get Saints and Wigan fans voting for Sinfield, but you won't get Castleford fans. You won't get Wakefield fans.
And you'll know this as a Leeds Rhinos fan, is that Leeds are probably, they're not disliked, they're not hated by any stretch of the imagination, but they're not the most liked team in Super League, are they?
No.
You could count Bradford.
Yeah.
Not a Super League team, but obviously you need all the fans you can get from the lower divisions.
Yep.
You could count Bradford, Saints, Wigan, Cass, Wakey, all as rivals of Leeds.
Yep, definitely.
I mean, rivals who like to stick it to them.
Warrington as well, strong rival.
Warrington as well, yeah, probably. So where are you going to get... And the other thing about, you know, the idea that, of this lifetime achievement thing, Ryan Giggs did that in a year when Jenson Button was second and Jess Ennis was third in 2009.
Jenson Button won the World Championship that year.
Yeah. Tony McCoy won it in 2010 when Phil Taylor came second and Jess Ennis was third.
Tony McCoy was a massive internet push. And the same, but on the plus side of this again, this is a massive internet push from the whole rugby league community. The important people a lot of the Sky people. Sky are getting behind a BBC award. Mm. That proves how important it is. Barry McDermott works at Sky. Mm-hmm. George Riley, who does some fantastic work for the BBC, is getting behind. They showed all three test matches, test matches recently against New Zealand. There's 100,000 people got through the gate for those three test matches. And they took it out of the normal M62 corridor. I think the second test was at the Olympic Stadium. So, I mean, there's so much. You can see if there's any internet campaign. If you look on Twitter for sports personality, the only thing they're talking about is campaigns for Sinfield.
And now,
that's probably why.
Now, we've still got 2 weeks to go.
No,
yet.
But he was 50 to 1 on Monday. Yeah. 10 to 1. Whether 10 to 1 is too short,
he's top three, isn't he?
I think, yeah.
Maximum.
I think the market's sort of corrected itself now. I think he does get. He either finishes, for me, sort of third or fourth. I still think. I'd be interested in a match bet between Sinfield and Hamilton if any bookmaker would like to price that up.
You're a bookmaker. You can do it.
I can, but I know what side I want to be on.
It's an interesting one. I think you know, maybe 10 to 1's a little bit short now to be backing them each way for a place in the... Well, it's top two now on this. So, the value's probably just about gone now, I think, given the maths of it all. Andy Murray versus... I know you're on the Jess Ennis Hill side. I pretty much am as well. I just think that I'm still not sure about... I know he won it when he won Wimbledon, but he had to win it then. I wouldn't back him at this price. Obviously, if you were backing him at 5-1, brilliant and well done. I still think the whole Jess Ennis Hill, pregnant, coming back, doing this amazing thing, I think still think she's got a very special place in the British heart.
This is still very reminiscent of last year, albeit the prices are the other way round. You've got Rory McIlroy last year, who won an event in... Open Championship in July.
Yeah.
And he's up against Lewis Hamilton, who won his Drivers' Championship about 3 weeks before Sports Personality. Mm-hmm. This time you've got somebody... Jess Ennis has achieved miles more this year as a person than Andy Murray.
Yeah.
Andy Murray's won his... Yeah, fine. It was a fantastic achievement. But the Davis Cup has to remember it's a team event.
And it was against Belgium.
Yeah, you're not remembering...
Djokovic
hasn't turned up. Federer didn't turn up. Nadal didn't turn up. If you'd have put all his singles wins... I saw this on Twitter on Monday. If you'd have priced up all his singles wins in the Davis Cup this year as an accumulator, it would still have been odds on.
No!
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
But unfortunately, on a Sunday night in a few weeks' time... You're not going to see Claire Baldin and Matt go, oh, well, yeah, but the ACCA worked out at 4-5. It will be the achievement. The fact that the BBC don't have that much sport left anyway, it was their main big event. This is the first time that Great Britain have won it since 1936. Andy Murray is that star name.
Plus, I wonder if he'll turn up this time. Andy Murray. He was training in Miami last time, wasn't he?
I know
he's competing in the Aussie Open, then he's taking some time off for the birth of his first child, I think I'm right in saying, early next year. But he didn't attend in 2000. It'd be quite ironic if he attended this time and didn't get it, I suppose. But look, we always look at these things as if we're arriving to it now. I think I'd back Jess Ennis to win it over Andy Murray.
The other side of the Sinfield coin is that you'd wonder why he never got a nomination 2 years ago when the event was actually in Leeds.
Mm. He's obviously a rugby union player now as well.
He's a rugby union. That's probably why he's got the nomination.
I don't know if he's played two or three
games for Leeds Carnegie.
Has he got enough to have brought the rugby union fans on board?
Probably not. He's probably done better than Sam Burgess. If it was a match bet between the two, then...
Loads of markets on the specials pages. You've got your Christmas specials on there as well. Number one video game, number one book, number one single, and top TV programme, which we like. We'll have a look at that next week, because by then I'm a Celebrity will be over and done with. A quick run through there. Mrs Brown's Boys is a favourite, 2-1. Downton Abbey, 3-1. EastEnders 5s. The Queen's Christmas Speech on the BBC is 5-1. The Queen's Christmas Speech on ITV is 12-1. Strictly Special is 14s and 20s and bigger the rest. We're up to 47 minutes, Rob, so we better go.
A couple of minutes editing, you'll be fine there.
Great,
all done
you.
For 45.
Thanks very much, Rob. Thank you to Daniel Gould from SofaBet. Thank you to Andy Holding as well for his views on Strictly. Seems a long time ago now. Thank you if you've made it this far on the podcast. If you haven't bet on any of those markets that we've discussed this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.